We're able to go live not only from Facebook, but also on our YouTube channel. So this is pretty awesome. It's a new thing that we just started, and I'm excited for that. If you don't know who I am, or maybe you joined just a little bit ago before I did an intro, my name is Pastor Harris Holzapfel, and I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And I'm so thankful that you are joining us for church this morning. I want to start off this morning by saying something. I want to tell you how much I miss you. I think about you and I pray for you every day. It is hard being in a church that's empty when, you know, God has called you to people. You know, God has called me in this time in my life to be a pastor and a shepherd. It's hard to be a shepherd when he can't see your sheep. And I just want you to know I miss you and I love you. I cannot wait till we worship again together. Right? We got to stay strong. We got to follow some of these rules and laws to protect the people that are sick and to protect the ones that could get sick. But let me tell you, keep standing strong. It says in Ephesians 6 that when you put on the armor of God and you don't know what else to do when you stand, what does it tell you to do? You stand. So keep standing. Keep relying in God's word. Keep standing strong. Put on the armor of God and pray in tongues and build yourself up in your most holy faith and pray for one another. Thank you for everyone in the church that is reaching out to the church. For so long in the church, we expect the pastors and the leadership to do everything. And it never, never, never in God's word says anything about that. I don't know what we've made it, but I know that God is stripping things. And even right now, as we can't meet together, we have people in the church, talking to people in the church. We are bearing one another's burdens. We're lifting each other up. We're praying for one another. We're connecting with one another. And that's exactly what the Word of God says. And one of my main jobs as a shepherd is not only to protect you, to keep you safe, but also to equip you to do the works of the ministry. Thank you for everyone that is doing the works of the ministry. I want to read you a story. In May of 1981, Muffin was barking ferociously in the yard, right? Just going crazy. May Rose Williams thought she was chasing a squirrel and came out to quiet her doggy down. She didn't see a squirrel. What she did find instead was a sinkhole opening up in her front yard in Winter Park, Florida. It kept opening and opening until it swallowed May Rose's entire home. But it didn't stop there. It continued to open up until it engulfed the local community pool and did about $4 million worth of damage. Then nearly 30 years later in Guatemala, a tropical storm, Agatha, swept across Central America. A sinkhole opened up in Guatemala City and swallowed up a three-story building. Crazy. Now keep those two images in your mind as I read Jesus' words. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says this, "Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey, it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Building our lives on the rock of God's word is the only sure foundation. Every other foundation is building on sand. As I look right now in our world, I see uncertainty, I see hopelessness, I see celebrated sin, I see fear and a great divide. I want to talk just real quick right there before I don't care your political party. Right now, it does not matter. Quit standing so strong on your time. We need to come together. Why are we so divided? We are fighting the same physical enemy right now. Why can't we come together? Who cares? It's like the Christians, right? A lot of people like to complain about the Christians because you have this denomination and this denomination and this and that. But if you believe Jesus Christ is the Lord and you believe he's God's only son and he died on the cross for you, stand up together and let's fight together. Let's love one another. Let's be the church together. Can't we be America together right now? Who cares if you're independent? Who cares if you're Democratic? Who cares if you're Republican? Who cares if you can't even vote? Man, we need to come together right now. We need to stand up and we need to come together because we're divided. For what reason? What reason? See, in our world today, it seems like our culture is on a shaky foundation. I'm afraid some of the ideas, the ideals, and the worldly truths that are guiding many people today, it may feel like a decent foundation, but in the end, it's more like a sinkhole. Sinkhole that threatens to swallow everything up. When Jesus talked about those two builders in Matthew 7, like I just read, you'll notice it wasn't a matter if the rain would come. It's a matter of when the rain will come. The rain came like it does for all of us. The waters, they rose. And the winds, they were blowing. And they beat against the house. Bam, crash, crash, crash. I don't want to scare you. And you don't have to worry if you have the right foundation. But we find all of us in a mighty storm right now. The rains and the waters are beating at our lives and at our homes right now. Church, how you doing? How are you doing? Here's a more important question instead of just how you're doing. Let me get a little deeper. How's your foundation? How's your foundation? The foundation of life is the difference between a life that stands firm and a life that gets swallowed up. Every day, you and I are laying bricks in the structure of our lives. Every day at home, every conversation, every interaction, every decision is part of the structure you're building, which you call your life. What we're living in today is a result of what we built yesterday. Whether you're an atheist, an agnostic, Jesus follower, or whatever, all of us want to build careers. We all want to build families, and we all want to build friendships. But the major difference always, 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 always is found in the foundation. Is the career that you're building, right, standing on the desire to know, follow, and glorify Jesus, or are you building on the desire to get what you want? Those who have built on the desire to get what they want, a lot of you right now, maybe people even watching right now, you even lost your career right now. See, you can lose it all if you're building your own career, and what do you simply have? You simply have lost it all. But those who have built on Jesus can lose it all, and yet they still have everything. Did you notice what Jesus said about how we build our foundation? I just read it. Matthew 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Solid rock. This verse is not about being saved or not being saved. See, you can believe in Jesus and still waste most of your time here on earth and have nothing to show for it when it's all over. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read it in the NLT. I'm going to start in verse 11 and go through 15. It says this: For no one can lay any foundation other than the one they've already have in Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on a foundation may use a variety of materials: gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Jesus' words in Matthew 7 and then Paul's words that I just read in 1 Corinthians 3 are more about being wise or unwise in the way that you live. I believe Jesus is showing us the difference between a life full of joy and a life full of misery. He's also pointing out the way to endure and overcome anything, no matter what comes against us. See, Jesus compares a faith that can overcome and stand firm and a faith that one that collapses and is swallowed up. Jesus said, it comes down to two things. This is Jesus. He says, you hear my word, and then you live my word. See, there's no way around the authority and the importance Jesus put in the truth of the Bible. There's no way around it. In his ministry, Jesus pointed back to and affirmed the accounts of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and Jonah. He quoted the prophets and the law when he drove his points home. One of the major reasons we believe in the authority of the Old Testament right now to this day is because Jesus testified to it. At least 20 times in the four Gospels, Jesus pointed to the Old Testament when he said, "It is written." Isn't it incredible? The one who had the power to cast out demons, right? Go into those pigs and then run into that water right there. He had the power to cast out demons, to command them where to go and what to do. But he used the words of the Bible to resist the devil. See, that's a clear message that's made to all of us right now. Jesus, the one who had the power to just move his finger, right? Better than Mutombo. You remember that guy? Right? Right? Not today, Satan, with that finger like this long, right? Jesus had the power with just to move a finger and bind Satan up for the rest of eternity. But he dealt with the accuser three different times by saying, "It is written." Jesus' example shows us the truth and the power of God's word. Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." Whew. Come on now. God's word is the truth. It is the foundation. It is the difference. Why? God breathed it. That's why. The word of God is truth that can cut spiritual chains that are holding onto your heart right now. And in the future, and whatever happened in the past. It can produce a fountain of joy deep within your spirit. Let me talk to you real quick. Happiness is not a fruit of the spirit, that's of the world. Happiness is determined by your circumstances, but the word of God says there is joy that you can have, because joy right now can fill your home, even if you don't have a job, even if you're sick, even if you're not understanding how you're gonna pay your next bills. Right now, joy can enter in because it's a fruit of the spirit, because it comes from God, because it's God breathed, and it's from his word, it's in his word. And he says that you can have joy no matter the circumstances. There's a big difference. God does not bring happiness. He brings joy. It's much better, right? Although when I preach, I can preach myself happy, amen? And I might do that today. Man, that was anointed worship. Y'all just flowing. By the way, practice didn't look nothing like that. That's when you know the presence of God comes. And there's a thing called the anointing. And the anointing is the touch of God. And sometimes you can practice. This is for somebody out there. You can keep walking through the motions because God tells you to do it. And in the right time, his anointing will come. Keep pressing through. Because when the anointing comes, that's when God steps in. And that's when things happen. Right? Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Quit worrying about how you feel. Follow God's word and the anointing will come. His presence will come and everything will be all right. It'll be all right. Told you I'm gonna preach myself happy today. Come on now. That's good. Somebody said in here. Come on. The massive crowd we have in the church today. Come on. Amen. Awesome. See, God's word is truth. It is the foundation. It is the difference. It's not just right or wrong. It's in alignment with the creator of the universe, right? It is the way God intends things to be. Therefore, the Bible carries his power and his authority. Psalm 24, 1 and 2 says this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. I'm going to talk to you real quick before I keep preaching. I want to tell you something about God's word. We've been doing this prayer drive 4 weeks in a row now on a Friday. And we've been praying for all kinds of people. And then a few people gave us specific names here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, that we need to. We have two hospitals here, and they're very nice hospitals. And we're very blessed to have such great hospitals so close to us in downtown. And as we're driving, people said there's a few people in there that are dealing with COVID-19. And let me tell you, there's a man named Nathan that was dealing with it. And they said it's miraculous how quickly he was healed, that even tomorrow he may be getting out of the hospital. That's incredible, right? And then there's a man named Dudley, right? And we've been praying for him for a while as well. And Dudley's daughter on Friday prepared and paid for the funeral. But his word. Now, let me talk to you. I don't know why some people live in some die. I don't know when we pray and we have faith. I don't get it. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. What I do know is we're supposed to be faithful by praying his word and believing. Like I just said, you have to speak. It's in alignment with the creator. You must speak God's word into the situation. And when you do that, God is invited in and then God can have his way. It becomes anointed because God is there. And with Dudley, when they removed all the breathing and all the different medicines, he lived. I don't even know. Maybe Dudley's able to watch us right now, man.
Yes! Thank you, Lord!
Yes! I don't know. I don't know where you're at right now, but something in you must live. The resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same one that lives in believers. It's the same one that helped Nathan. It's the same one that rose Dudley. It's the same one that's going to help Chad Edmonds. It's the same one that's going to help anybody. It's the same one that I prayed for at the beginning of this that's going to heal your neck or your back, because we serve a risen Savior. He's alive. And his word is sharper than the sharpest double-edged sword, and it's going to cut deeper than whatever a surgeon may be able to cut. It's going to get into the bone and the marrow. It's going to be able to get into the soul and the spirit, and it's going to make you awake. This is the most powerful sword you've ever, ever seen. God is real, and his truth is alive. You know, it's so cool that God is this kind. He's kind to reveal the truth we need in life in the Bible. There's so much power in the truth. See, the truth is beautiful. The truth is powerful. The truth changes everything. The truth, God's word, it's the difference. See, there's things you and I believe and hold on to that just aren't true, right? Here's one. Did you know that Napoleon wasn't short? He was 5'6", which is actually average height for a Frenchman in the early 1800s. Did you know that there isn't zero gravity in space? It's just that the distance between things are so far apart that you don't feel like the gravity we have here on Earth. So it feels like zero gravity, but there is still gravity. And lastly, did you know that you can't fit your thumb inside your nostril? Actually, you can. I just want to see if anybody at home would do that. That's pretty gross. Go wash your hands, okay? Go wash your hands. Nah, for real though. For real. There's all kinds of little lies that attack us every single day. It's true. Without the truth of God's word to show us differently, we feed these lies. And we believe these lies, and we live by these lies, and we fall and we fail because of these lies. There's little things that you've taken to be true your entire life that God's word says, no, that is not the way it is. Here's a few things that you might believe. I won't ever really recover from this. Dudley, I know that these next 2 days are very vital. Speak right now. You will recover from this. You're more than a conqueror. By his stripes you are healed. Spirit of God, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, may it live in you right now, may it be in your room. Anyone else needs to recover. Here's some other things that you might believe that are lies. COVID-19 and its effects, they're never going to end. I'm always one step away from falling apart. I'll never beat this disease, this sickness, this cancer, or this depression. I'm not as good. I'm not as lovable. I'm not as pretty. I'm not as capable or as godly as he or she is. God is boring. He's uptight. He's angry. God is unfair, uninvolved. God is unloving. God is unkind. These are lies that the word of God can and will destroy. See, more than words on a page, the Bible is actually a living entity with the power to change lives. Why do I say that? I've been saved since 9th grade, and I'm a lot older than that now. And I can keep reading God's word. I've read it. I went to Bible college 2 times, right? To do this, to read this, to study this. And every time I read it, it comes alive in my life. It lives in me. It changes me. It's got to be alive. It's got to be alive. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, right? When you believe in those lies. And it teaches us to do what is right. God sent his spirit to the earth to inspire around 40 different men that never, most of them never even knew each other, to write a message of how much he loves you. This message spans 1,600 years in the making, and it was written by completely different men, but most of them never even met each other, but yet they had the same story. The Bible exists so you could understand God's love for you. That love is written and revealed in his word. Here's some truths I want to say to you at home right now and you in the sanctuary or the sound room. I want to say this to you, what God says about you. You were created by him, and he adores you. You're created for success. You're created to be victorious. You're actually better than that. You're more than a conqueror. You are blessed and not a burden. You're a blessing, not a burden. Your past doesn't disqualify you. Actually, once you are redeemed through Jesus, it qualifies you. You're his masterpiece. You are his righteousness in Christ Jesus. You are the head and you're not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You are more than a conqueror. God uses people just like you. And you are loved and you are forgiven. You're a follower of Jesus. You need to be in the Bible every single day. Now, I know you've heard this message if you've been to church any longer than a year. I know you heard it, but I'm telling you right now, do you only eat one day a week? Now, we know in quarantine that ain't true. There's more chips being bought than ever before. I'm telling you, that's some kryptonite right now. Can I get a testimony? Right? Do you only eat once a week? Nah. Then don't you eat spiritually once a week either. You must read your word. You got to eat, right? There's milk in here. There's meat in here. There's things better than chips. Once you pop, you can't stop. Come on now. Ooh. Is that Lay's, right? You're welcome, Lay's. Sponsored by Lay's. Just joking. Come on now. Oh, something wrong with me. So, God is good, man. But I'm telling you, that's truth. It sounds silly. Once you pop, you can't stop. Once you get in God's word and once you start reading, man, you just got to keep on eating. Like, ooh, man, you got to build up that spiritual man or woman that's inside of you. Just 10 minutes every single day. 10 minutes, that's not much. Just 10 minutes. Do more if you can. But just 10 minutes reading God's word will make all the difference in all that you do. It'll make the difference in the way you live, the way you act, the way you pray. God speaks to us through his word. God reveals himself to us through his word. See, God heals us through his word. And God transforms everything through his word. The clearest and most complete way to know God's will, right? You're like, I don't know what God's doing. The clearest and the easiest way and the most complete way to know God's will is to regularly read his word. You got to have a two-way conversation, by the way, as well. Through prayer. Powerful prayer is carried out by centering it around his word. Maybe you don't know how to pray because you don't know his word. Maybe you don't know how to change that situation because you don't know his word. Maybe you don't know how much he loves you because you don't know his word. God's word and prayer work together to change us, to change the world around us. And it's through the truth. The world has diverged from God's plan. Definitely in America. The world is building a different foundation. It holds different values. It longs for different hopes and it has different aspirations and it has different goals. Foundation of the world is ultimately a sinkhole that will swallow up people and their hopes, people and their dreams. But God's word is a firm foundation. It is the rock. It is the difference that makes all the difference. Last week I talked about the church. And Jesus established the Christian church when he said this to his disciples in Matthew 16, 15 through 19. I'm going to read this in the New King James Version. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" What a powerful question. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, hell, will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's why the prayer drive works, church. Nothing to do with us. But man, we're binding things and loosing things here on earth that are in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? There is not. So may there not be sickness on earth when we pray God's word. May his stripes heal. See, Jesus has given the church tremendous power and responsibility. And it is written in his word. Jesus has placed the keys of the kingdom into our hands. Are we going to drive together? God's word is truth. Our responsibility to the truth goes beyond any feelings we may face. Our responsibility even goes beyond just hearing it or accepting it. We're responsible to do what it says because it is the truth. And the truth is bigger than us. And God's word says, this is the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God's word endures. God's word stands firm. God's word will always be proven true. Now, church, before I close here, I want to tell you this. We need to be people of God's word. Now, I want to remind you of one of the most important things about Jesus. Because if you're a church Bible thumper, you need to hear this. One of the most important, most amazing things about Jesus was this word called compassion. If you're going to throw this book at people, then you forgot what this book did for you. We need to be people of God's word, full of love. This will set people free. The devil condemns. The Holy Spirit convicts. And Jesus loves us and sets us free. Church, we need to be people of God's word. Read your word. Right? Now I'm going to sound like a daddy. Read your word, boy! Read your word, girl! Right? Read it, or you're grounded. No, for real. Read your word. Memorize your word. Now, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a little while now, and I'm going to tell you, I have a lot of scripture in my mind, but I cannot, for some reason, line up the scripture reference with the actual verse, right? It's just like this giant puzzle. But that's okay. Hide it in your heart. Reveal it, right? If you know it, then look it up. Google it. I know that verse. Where's that at? Boom, boom. Then read it, right? Don't always try to be so perfect all the time. Memorize your word. Study your word. Know your word. Do what the word says and pray his word into your situation. Because if you do, when the waters rise, when the questions and the doubts come, when tragedy strikes, when life pushes back, you will stand firm on the rock. All right, I'm about to close. But before I do that, I'm about to pray God's word over our world and our nation. But if you need a Bible to read, if you need a Bible, you're watching this. As long as you live in the United States of America, 50 states. If you need a Bible to read, please message us on Facebook, or you can message us at info@firstopenbible.com and let us know, and we will personally send you a Bible this week. This week. Amen? You need a Bible? We'll get you one. It won't get you some lousy one, right? We won't get you some cheapy one. We're going to get you a Bible so you can read. You can read God's word. It's going to transform your life. All right, I want to do this. I'm going to take my notes out here. If you can, I want you to do something with me. A lot of times, you know, in church, we say a lot of things, but we don't maybe position ourselves to receive. I want us to position ourselves in what the world says is humble, and what we know physically to be humble. So if you can humble yourself right now, will you get on your knees? I want you to get on your knees as I close. I want to read a verse, and I want to pray it over you, family, our nation, our life, everything that we know, and even in our world. And a lot of you know this verse, but I'm going to break it down and I'm going to pray it. You got to pray God's word. It says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Then, before I start, what a beginning of a verse. There's a deal here that God makes. He says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. That doesn't happen in the Bible very often. God is God, and his ways are higher than our ways. But he tells us that what we need to do for something to happen. But then we want results, but we don't do this. But why would we expect it when God laid it out for us? It's like the easiest math problem. So-and-so equals this, but we don't want to be the X. We don't want to be the factor, right? There's an X in there. We have to be that right there. We need to do those things. So let me read. Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, Father, we're in positions to be humble right now and pray and seek my face. Lord, each and every person in there right now, in their homes, in whatever's going on, whenever they're watching this, we seek you. God, we can't do it without you. It says in your word, and turn from their wicked ways. Father, forgive us. Forgive us. Each and every person. God, forgive me. Forgive our nation. Forgive our state. Forgive our counties, our cities, for what we've made it. We've thought we could do things better than you. Forgive us, God. Forgive us. And it says in your word that you will hear from heaven. Hear us, God, hear us. And forgive our sins and restore our land. Father, as I close, the word is powerful. It is true. It is loving, it is kind, but it is also just. Forgive us of what we've done, Lord. And we ask that right now, as we humble ourselves and we lay ourselves before you, we right now take off everything that we are and we lay it at your feet, King Jesus. And we ask that when we get up from our knees, that we'll be able to pick up things of you and lay those at your feet. Forgive us of what we've done. Forgive us of what we said. Forgive us of what we've made it. And God, I just lift up the church to you right now. Lord, we've played a lot of church and we haven't been being the church. We have all this hierarchy. We have all this strange rituals, these things that aren't even in your word that we've come to make your word. And then we get mad at other people and we start changing and morphing your word and highlighting things that you never highlighted, Jesus. What have we done, God? Forgive us. What have we done? Strip us completely. God, I know coronavirus is hurting all over this world, but God, I pray that right now what it is, it's like the word that I heard, an incubation, God, that we are in a protection state, but it's only so we can grow. May you protect us at this time that we might be separated physically, but that's so we can humble ourselves. So when we come together, God, there'll be a revival, a reformation, and you will truly be the God of the church, that we come to you, be the God of the church, Lord. Let this not be about a man. Lord, we step out of the pulpit. We step out of these positions and we allow the Holy Spirit to move in a new way. God, have your way. Lord, thank you for all that you are doing and we worship you. You are worthy. You are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Jesus, mighty name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Lord, we love you. Woo. Should have grabbed a tissue. Oh, Father, we love you. Thank you for joining us at church this morning. If you need a Bible, please reach out to us. We will get you what you need. We want to help you in this time, however we can. And until we can meet together again, this is just bye for now. We love you. Have a great week. And be the church. Be the church. Read his word. Follow his word. Do his word. Love you.